Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, good first half planned. Jim Gaffigan is going to play the Rotten Tomatoes game with us. Love that guy. Love that gal. Christy Bishop's going to come in and do her commercial grade. Some very funny moments stumbled upon inadvertently. Doing that, breaking down TV commercials. First, True Car. 60 seconds. That's how long this spot's going to last. What else can you do in a minute? Get an offer on your car. Go to True Car. Use your smartphone. Use your computer. Enter your license plate number. Watch your car's details come popping up. Answer a few questions. You'll get an accurate True Cash offer from a local True Car certified dealer very quickly. Then you bring your car in. They'll check it out with you. Walk around it. Kick some tires. Ask some questions. Get some answers. No surprises. Then you can leave with a check, or you can trade that car in for a new ride. Nothing better than a new ride. So, if you want a new car, it's True Car. If you want a used car, it's True Car. And if you want to just head home with a cashed big old check in your pocket, head on home with that, you go with True Car. When you're ready for a better experience and a better way to sell or trade in your car, you go True Car today. Rocket Mortgage. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home is much more than a house. That's why when you find the perfect place for you and your family, getting a mortgage shouldn't be difficult and it shouldn't get in the way. And that's why there's Rocket Mortgage. Their team of mortgage experts, number one goal is to make home buying process a smoother, easier process for you. Quicken Loans help millions of Americans achieve the dream of home ownership. And when you're ready to purchase a home and it's the home of your dreams, well, then they can help you too. J.D. Power ranked Quicken Loans highest in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination 9 years in a row and highest in mortgage servicing 5 years in a row. Not too shabby. Get started online at rocketmortgage.com/Adam. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Push button, get mortgage. Rocket Mortgage. Right, Dawson?
Visit rocketmortgage.com/Adam and take the first step toward the home of your dreams. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Push button, get mortgage.
You're inside the toolbox, so crank the knob and rip it off. Let's ask Paul Rogers if they really named this band after a Jeff Bridges movie. Yeah. It was a 1972 Western called Bad Company, so there you go. We got 50,000 watts power in this frequency. If it rolls or rocks, you'll find it on the toolbox. Thanks in advance to Brute Force. The overnight guy will be filling in for me while I'm on vacation. I'll see you baby when I get back from Electric Land. It's Bad Company on the toolbox.
Lights go flashing by. Electric Land is in mind. The other world is on the move. And everybody put someone to blue.
Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California. This is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Jim Gaffigan, will call in for the Rotten Tomatoes game. We got Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, Dave Damashek's here for good sports, and Christy Bishop stops by for commercial grade. And now, a man with no gear for fear, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. The choice but to get on your mandate, you get it on, man. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend. We love when you share the show, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
Handball, Brian.
I want to go to Hawaii. Yay! Yay! I want to Hawaii.
Yeah, they're not letting us do that one anymore.
No.
Yeah.
Special Ed isn't coming back.
Oh, man.
No.
In
woke.
The vault.
We're woke now.
He's retired to the Hall of Fame.
Did you...
He met with an untimely end?
Did you Norma Rae that and kind of try to fight it, or you just went with it?
I have X amount of energy for X amount of problems now, and I have a lot of problems. I mean, I have a lot.
More money, more
lot,
problems.
Yeah, a lot to deal with, so...
New character, different Ed.
Yeah, I did not... people liked it. I don't know. I feel like, you know, it's just where we're at. I don't know when this. I was talking to Mike August last night about this woke shit infecting comedy.
Hey, Mike, he's talking about you, you fuck ass.
I was talking to you. Ryan, that was awesome. And I said,
get it all out for vacation.
comedian Todd Glass, I did his cancer charity, or his charity to raise money for him. Nice. And then later on, he called me douchebag because he didn't like me using the word retard on stage.
What a retard.
And I thought this is a new wrinkle in comedy. I thought the thing of comedy, all the people we look up to were the guys who said what they felt and pushed against and went the opposite direction. And if they zigged, you zagged and all of that stuff. I didn't know. I thought how could the word police find a home in comedy?
Of all places.
Of all places.
It was sacred, untouchable.
You know, libraries, schools, municipal buses.
By all means.
By all means. It's comedy.
Yeah.
And the fact that many comedians would lead that charge.
Yeah.
That's counterintuitive to this comedian who's always enjoyed saying what he feels and using the words he chooses, and then seems to have worked out okay. No one's committed suicide, and the folks who enjoy me enjoy that aspect of what I do.
They're still here.
Yes.
What do you think, like someone like Bill Hicks, who was very liberal and very edgy, do you think he would get on board? Or because I've been thinking a lot about him lately. I love him. Old school, huge, huge fan. But he was incredibly liberal, you know, fought the man all the time. But I don't think he'd stand for this.
The word police?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't think. I think we have to, the further down the road I get, liberal is one of those things where it's almost like someone going, are you uptight? You go, no, I'm not uptight. Who admits to being uptight? I always consider myself liberal. My liberal is gamble if you want to gamble, prostitution, legal, grow pot in your backyard. Just do what you want to do. Don't hurt other people. If you want to say retarded on stage, say retarded on stage, and we'll see if you sell tickets. Right. Many people may not like it, and then you won't sell tickets. I'm not going to tell you.
The market will bear.
Also, I don't get to tell you whether to smoke pot or not, or whether to be straight or gay, or whether or what words to use. Who am I to tell you any more? Obviously, the same group who wants to police your words. Also, if you said, "Well, then what about me telling this gay couple they can't be a gay couple?" It's like, well, that's out of the question.
Right.
I mean, so the same group that's simultaneously telling everyone you don't get to tell anyone what they can do are also trying to tell you what to do. So I think in this new world order, and if you're listening, I think if you kind of make a definition between left and liberal, you'll feel it'll help solve a lot of problems because you can be probably right. And, you know, Dennis Prager's far to the right, but he's also liberal. He believes that you should be able to do what you want to do. And I think there's a difference between left and liberal. And I think someone like Alyssa Milano may think of herself as a liberal, but she's not really a liberal in the true sense. But Bill Maher's probably a little more would be on the left and be liberal. And Alyssa Milano thinks she's super liberal, but she's constantly trying to tell you what to do and take away your job.
Right.
So that's not really liberal. Mm-hmm. That's the way I would look at it. And I would think that Bill Hicks would be left and liberal.
Yeah.
That's
both.
And both. And then you can be, I believe you can be both, right and liberal and left and liberal. And I think he would be left and liberal and thus you shall then have the right to say what you want.
God, I hope so.
Or I don't think he'd be active trying to get you
shut other people down.
Trying to get you removed from your job or boycotting this gym that you had part ownership in. I don't think there'd be any of that.
Right.
Or, you know, boycotting a taco truck because two redheaded chicks are running the taco truck, that's not liberal.
That's not on the agenda.
I think they think of themselves as liberal. That's not really live and let live.
No.
That's the way I think of it.
Live
that's
and cancel.
You trying to shut down these people's livelihood because they're doing something that they didn't vet with you.
Right.
Or that you've decided, oh, by the way, that you decided in the last 10 minutes was wrong.
Right.
You ate tacos from a guy named Pops Johnson your whole life and never had two thoughts about it. Right. Now you're 47 and 10 minutes ago you've decided this is wrong.
It doesn't jive with your ever-changing worldview.
Right.
Yeah, you need to keep up. Also, I sent this to Chris and Kaylin the other day. We've been talking a lot about PETA, and this hadn't come up. I haven't checked the source. It just came from BuzzFeed. But if you have that picture, Kaylin, PETA has not just gone the route of animal testing, you know, beauty products and things like that.
Oh, they're going for viruses, like I predicted.
Better. Wow. They're in the animal cracker business.
Oh, yeah.
Did you know that?
Well.
Animal appropriation.
Because does the classic picture look like?
It's a slippery slope. Yeah. Because
it's animals in cages.
Barnum and Bailey, yeah.
Well, but also, what about this? I'm feeding my 3-year-old a cookie that's shaped like a giraffe, and the next thing you know, he's climbed the fence at the zoo, and he's trying to eat the head off a giraffe.
That's the slippery slope.
Well, that's the message.
Right. And we don't want to see God's creatures in cages, even if they're cookies. So now they're all free roaming the Serengeti.
I like that.
In the new
box. Mm-hmm. And then what about, now I'm serious, what about like the ACLU going after alphabet soup? Because some of those letters could form offensive words. Not that you'd physically do it, but you don't know when you dump that can into the bowl what those could mm-hmm. What yeah. shape that could do?
You got to get out in front of that.
Look, Daddy, F you.
I'm thinking more ethnic slurs,
oh,
Brian.
Okay, all right.
The F you would be all right with the ACLU. It's the ethnic slurs they wouldn't like. All right. Let's see. Dylan had a dust up at the Starbucks today. I'm curious. Yeah, I'm curious about it. I was told by Max Zapata that he'd got into it with a guy who was straddling the line or using up two spots, which I don't like.
Parking spots.
Gotcha. But as I've dug a little deeper, it turns out the guy was just too far to one side.
Mm.
Now, Dylan was outraged to find out that I may disagree with him on this.
Yep.
First things first, you want to straddle that line and use up two parking spots. I have no time for you and humanity. I want to stuff you into that huge air cannon so we can test the impellers on the jet engines. Just boom.
Yes.
Fine. No problemo with that.
Yeah.
The on the line is a little tougher because sometimes, now here's the worst case scenario. Sometimes it's a domino effect. Sometimes there's a person that's too far over, so you pull too far over, then person leaves, and now you look like the lone a-hole. So, Dylan, there are two lines.
If you're within the lines, you're okay.
How close to the outside line was he, or was he over it?
He was touching the outside line. The wheels were... Thank you.
Touching.
These are the stakes.
All right. How honestly, if we're right side or left side, if we were like behind the car?
Left side.
Okay. Can we see white outside of his black tires?
A little bit.
This is going a little like hitting the foul pole here.
It's not considerate, but it's not outrageous.
Egregious.
It's not outrageous. I don't like it. I don't know. What do you think his reasons were?
Sociopathy.
Okay. See,
what else could it be?
I don't know.
There's no other answer.
Now, all right. So let's see. Let's break it off into murder one, straddling two spots.
Taking up two spots.
That's murder one.
Yeah.
Just murder is over the line with no white showing. Manslaughter.
A crime.
Is some of the white, a little bit of the white showing, but still not not completely obscured.
Mm-hmm.
And aggravated assault is like just sort of a whole line showing, but you're still on some of the white.
You're out of bounds.
That's how I would break it
down.
On
replay, you're out of bounds.
So which one are you? Murder?
No, you're manslaughter.
I mean, I've done nothing wrong.
So... Now, then you pulled up, and what happened?
I pulled up into the spot next to him, and he couldn't get out of his car. I parked normally, and he couldn't get out of his car because...
Oh, he was in the car?
Yes, he was in the car.
Interesting.
And
so
you parked within the lines?
Yes.
Did you fudge it over...
No.
No?
Dylan?
I don't like that face.
I didn't. I just pulled in. He couldn't get out, and so I backed up. And he was trying to get stuff out of the back. Later, I found out it was a small human being. Mm-hmm. That was his daughter. Mm-hmm. And he said, can you fucking back up, please? And mm-hmm. I said, if you didn't park like a monster, this wouldn't be a problem.
Right.
And he said, everybody parks like this. And I said, it's not about everybody. It's about you.
What was his motivation to have it so far off? Just slid in that way?
Not paying attention.
He's in an Odyssey, Honda Odyssey, which is a vehicle of... insane people.
I agree. Dr. Bruce had one for a while.
Yeah, or crazy people.
That's a minivan, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was the daughter on the passenger side?
Yes. No, driver's side.
Oh, that's weird. I was going to say, I do recognize the desire to cheat
swing
a few inches
open.
So you can thus get the daughter out of the passenger side. But if it's on the same side, all bets are off.
Yeah. So, I said, you're a monster. And it's not about everybody else. It's an isolated incident. And then I pulled into a different spot, and he followed me, and he said, I need your insurance. So he rapped on my window. I said, yes, I need your insurance. You hit my car. You fucked my car up. And I said, I didn't touch your car. You're not getting my insurance. He was like, well, I'm going to need your insurance. And I was like, well, you're not getting my insurance. And then we both walked into Coffee Bean together.
Did he say you fucked my car up?
Because yeah.
That would be something you would both very clearly notice.
Absolutely. Yeah,
Dylan, I'm with you on the Odyssey. This guy's insane.
He's insane.
And what was his daughter crying, saying, Daddy, please don't?
No, she was in the car. The entire confrontation, she was in the car. I only realized there was a small child with him when we were in Coffee Bean.
So I'm going to add the Odyssey. When I see anyone in a Honda CR-V or RAV4, I'm always like, oh, that person hates driving. Now, in L.A., you have to drive. If you live in New York and you hate driving, you don't own a car.
Yeah.
If you live in L.A. and you hate driving, you have either Honda Odyssey, now RAV4 or CR-V, which is all, I don't care, I must
just
have
a
vehicle, which means you're not going to be dealing with spirited driving or smart driving. So I will add that to my list. Yes, Brian, you
I was
going to
say, Dylan, with this further information about the guy pursuing you for the insurance, I realize I'm seeing a whole picture now of this gentleman, whereas Dylan came out hot with sociopathy or a sociopath. It now makes sense. This guy may very well be a sociopath.
Waiting around for somebody to ding his car.
Well, and I don't think it was that. I think that he realized he had committed manslaughter, so to speak, and he was a little flustered, and he tried to win, and he failed at doing so.
Yeah.
Because if I did hit his car and he really needed my insurance, the second go away would not have sufficed. He would have been like, no, seriously, look at my car. You fucked it up.
I'm trying to picture this. He's pulled in head in to the spot, get it over to the left, get it over to the driver's side.
Yeah.
You pulled in also head in next to him. Where did he think you hit him?
Or on his back left side while I was pulling.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Ridiculous.
There's a thing.
It's not like you dinged him with the door. Obviously, you're on the opposite side.
Let me float a quick theory before Jim Gaffigan calls in.
He's running a few minutes behind, by the way.
Oh, he is. Okay. Yeah.
Dylan called him, told him to hold on.
I got an email from his team right now.
Okay. Here's what you have to rely heavily upon on society. You should be wired to not want to get into it with people and just sort of a little after you. And I don't want to mix it up. I don't want to tangle. That's a sort of a basic human wiring. Now, there are people who actually look forward to
the confrontation.
Some of them are just spiritual, emotional. They're not all physical. They're just I would like to mix it up with that person. We've all had neighbors who, God willing, maybe you haven't, but I've had a ton of neighbors who over nothing want to come over and go, hey, look, I noticed you were cutting the avocado tree. I'm not sure if you know this, but part of the branch goes into my yard.
Right.
And I'd really just appreciate if you could. And it's like, what are we doing? What are we talking
we're
about?
Adults.
Why are we into this?
Yeah.
I know there's no reason to have this. I was having a conversation with a neighbor yesterday, an old neighbor, and we're talking about fixing some water drainage problem or something. And at a certain point, I went yeah, okay. Got it. I'll fix it. And then he was like, because when it rains hard, and I'm like, I got it.
I got it.
Fix
understood.
It. We'll do it. And then he goes, Because the water really comes down, and I was like, listen, I must go at a certain point. I don't know what you want to, I don't know what we're doing here. We're going on a fifth lap of the exact same goddamn thing. Now, I always just go, I got a radio interview, and then I just walk, yeah. I just walk away.
Me too.
I don't know who wants all of this. Right. A larger percentage, I feel a larger percentage of people, Twitter. Mm. And all the simulated, you know, they kind of do this stuff where it's like, hey, he's doing first-person active shooter games over and over and over again. It's like, yeah, now I'm on Twitter and I'm sort of simulating a confrontation all fucking day. Like, I'm confronting people in my head. Now I go to a Starbucks and I'm in kind of active shooter mode. Like, I'm in my Twitter mode. There's a lot more people willing to mix it up in public than there used to be. Also, you used to get fucking popped in the jaw when you did that.
Yeah, so now that's off the table.
You slowed your roll a little bit.
I like this projection.
This is not projection.
Okay. All right. I'm
talking about him.
Okay.
All right. We have a real personality on line five. That is
Scat.
Jim Gaffigan. Jim Gaffigan.
Hello, sir. I'm a real personality.
That's right. Jim Gaffigan. I love this guy. And when I heard about his extensive football background, I learned to love him more. Mm. And I find that, you know, many comedians aren't accused of having a great work ethic. Jim Gaffigan has that work ethic, and I got to believe being grounded in football, especially playing, I think you played the line. Was it offensive line or both ways?
Both ways, but yeah, that's probably, hopefully that's why I can't, my knees hurt too, but who knows?
The new special, which is available on Amazon Prime, is called Jim Gaffigan Quality Time. I'm just saying, in order to put out a special every year, or at least what feels like about every year, you can't be lazy and do that. And I think that work ethic, you know, it's got a great work ethic. Jimmy Kimmel, when you get work ethic and you connect
another football player,
you connect it to funny.
Right.
You get work ethic and funny, you get a lot of productivity, a lot of product. Jim, do you put out about one a year?
Well, it's been recently about one a year, but I always say that I'm just trying to get my dad to like me. That's why I'm doing so many specials. It's something I love. And I also, you know, a couple of years ago, there was this, you know, with my wife having a brain tumor, there was this reality that I was faced, like, oh, you might not be able to do this. So I think I have a greater appreciation of, you know, living in the moment and kind of enjoying kind of the craft of stand-up and producing material.
Lots of funny material, and I think it's Noble Ape on the whole hospital setting and your wife and the entire, you know, horrible situation, but inevitably, if you're going to get involved in that and it's going to pass through your filter, there's going to be comedy coming out the other end. Was that from Noble Ape?
Yeah, that was Noble Ape.
Another very funny special. So, Jim, how's your wife doing? And I know your wife writes a lot of stand-up with you, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it varies at times. I mean, she's been writing a book for the past year, so I haven't had as much access to her. You know, I wrote a couple books, and she helped me a lot. And then she was writing a book, and I was like, hey, I'll help you. And she's like, nah, that's all right. So it's one of those things where she's been kind of occupied with working on her book. But it's definitely a partnership, and she sees and kind of serves as an editor and a director on everything. She directed the special that's on Amazon, so it's like, it's definitely a family affair, that's for sure.
Can we talk about your wife and her health? Because, you know, Brian Bishop, sitting to my left, has a brain tumor as well. I can't remember if we discussed this with you before.
I think it's come up.
Seems like it'd be good to get caught up.
Yeah, no, we discussed it.
So
she's doing well. She's doing well. I mean, it's you know, it's such a, but, you know, like she had cranial nerves, you know, going through the tumor. So her speech, she's gone through, she just recently had a surgery on her speech, on her, you know, vocal cords. Like one of them was paralyzed. So she, I don't know what they exactly did, expanded one of them to supposedly help her speech. And so she's kind of on vocal rest, which is pretty much impossible for my wife. But so she's talking some, but like it's, you know, as Brian will tell you, it's there's always an issue. It's not like, you know, spraining an ankle and like 6 months later, everything's good. It's like there's issues that you're constantly dealing with.
Jim, it sounds like your wife and I have the same tumor, if not a similar tumor, because it was on my cranial nerves as well. And you guys know how bad my speech was, you know, when I was going through the worst of it. And like you said, Jim, it's not just the tumor. It's all the stuff, the fallout. It's 10 years later. I'm still going to physical therapy twice a week, trying to get stronger on my left side. I'm sure your wife had similar issues, if not the same.
Oh, yeah, no, like, the you know, her, she'll just, you know, a leg, and by the way, there's tons of stuff they don't know, as you know. You know, mm-hmm. you're talking about physical therapy. It's like she has tingling in her leg that the doctors, these geniuses, are like, we don't know what it is.
Yep.
And you're just like, really? You don't have any idea. And so I think it's... You know, like the overall experience is so fascinating because I think that, you know, and I might have talked about this last time. I think that we as humans live in a certain sense of denial about our mortality, and we glimpse it with loved ones or when someone dies. We glimpse the fact that we're just around here for a little bit, and then we go back to, you know, being in denial and being angry at cab drivers and stuff like that. So it's,
yes, I wrote a book about the whole experience, and I pointed out that it's nice once you put a little bit of distance to be able to worry about those little things like cab drivers or the mailman didn't, you know, put the mail to take the mail you're supposed to send out. Like, it's nice to be able to worry about little things again.
Yeah, it's a luxury.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, bigger picture. Or I don't know if it's bigger, but different picture. Think about the things we worry about in this country versus many other countries.
Right.
Like, oh, the cable's out.
It's a macrocosm.
God damn it, the cable's out.
Internet's slow.
When my TV remote needs a new set of batteries, it is devastating.
It's like a grain shortage.
I pointed it three times. I did the weird overhead angle move. I walked to where I thought the eye was. It was brutal.
Yeah, it's very rough.
You'd give all your potable water just for new batteries.
Yeah, no, like when... When Facebook and Instagram are out, you know, like the news media covers it like the grid went down. You know what I mean?
All right, Jim, thanks for joining us. You know how to play the game, right? You've been explained how to play the Rotten Tomatoes game.
I do.
All right, this is, we'll start and we'll get the theme.
And the game makes their picks, guessing if it's rotten or fresh.
If they guess it exactly, we'll get a bonus five.
It's the Rotten Tomatoes game. You know how we do it. Give me the Rotten Tomatoes game. Now it's time to play it.
All right, because we have Christy Bishop coming in today for a round of commercial grade, we're going to theme today's game off of product placement in movies.
Oh, okay.
Our first film features dinosaurs, every car made by General Motors, plus a shape-shifting creature that subtly turns into a Beats by Dr. Dre speaker pill. It's the fourth installment of Brian's favorite movie franchise, Transformers, Age of Extinction.
This is the latest?
No. I mean, I don't know.
There's one other one. So here's what oftentimes happens. I love the first Transformers. That was a totally fun movie. And then they sort of fall off a little. And then a lot of times they get their shit back together again and come out. I mean,
look at Bumblebee.
Look at Star Wars,
right,
I guess.
Right.
And Bumblebee was strong.
Bumblebee was pretty good.
Bumblebee is 87% on Rotten Tomatoes or something.
I got no beef with that movie.
All right, so we don't know. This is the fourth one. Brian has seen them all.
They all kind of blend together after a while. I'm a fan of these stupid movies. I mean, the idea of these stupid movies, and by the third, fourth, fifth ones, they're all, I can't tell you anything different about them.
Okay, so did it do that thing where it got out of the gate good, stumbled a little, and then got their shit together and came up? I can't believe it did. Let's see. I'm going to write it down. But they sort of find their way. Okay, I'm in. Jim, you locked in?
I'm locked in.
All right.
He's looked it up.
Do we figure that Jim goes first?
Jim, go first.
Go ahead, Jim.
I think that I actually think that the reviewers are very harsh on movies that this is a Michael Bay kind of franchise, and I think that their reviewers try and appear smarter by bashing movies like this. I'm going to say 36%.
Yeah, smart. Mm.
I think Jim's on the right track. This is red meat for reviewers. This is when they get to, you know, take their pens out and just kill them. So I went actually much lower at 21. Mm-hmm. I might be high.
Wow.
I didn't know if this is. I assumed they'd gotten it back together and putting something together again. So I said 67.
Whoa. Oh, no. I had 40, crossed it out immediately, and deducted 10 points. I said 30.
Hmm. Transformers Age of Extinction is rotten at 18%.
Oh, boy, oh, boy.
Wow.
Wow.
That is rotten.
Red meat, man, for those critics.
Hmm. Now, aside from the usual luxury car brand integration, James Bond forgoes the usual incorrect martini order for a Heineken.
Nice.
In 2012's Skyfall.
Interesting.
2012 Skyfall.
I have thoughts on this movie.
I have not seen this.
Really?
Well, it is certain. See, I grew up on the Bond franchise, and I was really pumped about Bond. Mm-hmm. And I had like the little Bond matchbox car, mm-hmm. you know, and everything. The actual Bond car is going across the, or just went across the auction blocks, and we'll share more information with that. No, it's a DB5, I think. Could be DB4. They both kind of look the same. It was a DB5 that they said was a DB4, I think. Either way.
Is this Daniel Craig's first Bond movie?
No, this is his third Bond movie. Casino Royale was first, and then Quantum of Solace was second.
All I know about this one is this is the Adele Skyfall.
I think they won the Oscar.
It did,
for that,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great song.
All right.
It was a good song.
Let's see. And I used to watch them because there was a so movie franchises were like food franchises. You know, when you went to In-N-Out Burger or McDonald's or Chick-fil-A, you kind of went for different reasons, but they all kind of had their Arby's or whatever. Like, you kind of knew, like, oh, we're going to get Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Right.
And you didn't look at Kentucky Fried Chicken as delicious fried chicken. You looked at it as Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Right. Reliable.
And so I looked at James Bond as James Bond.
Right.
And then they got rid of all the gadgets and all the fun stuff and replaced it with testicular trauma and a guy crying because this hot chick pulled a fast one on him, and now they've taken him away and they've just put a black chick in the role, and it's like it's no longer Kentucky Fried Chicken. I probably shouldn't have put that so close to the black chick, but what I'm saying is it's no longer the I never said it was the best. It was its own thing, and I liked that.
Yeah.
And now I don't care to see it anymore because now it just falls under action genre for me.
Okay.
That being said, I don't know. All right. I'm in.
Jim?
I'm in. Yeah. Do you want me to go?
Yeah.
Please.
I think this is pre-Me Too. I think that Daniel Craig was pretty much universally adored at this time. And I'm going to say 67%.
Interesting.
I want 61.
I have seen every Bond movie. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge fan of the series. Quantum of Solace was a terrible movie, the one that preceded this. This, directed by Oscar winner Sam Mendes, is fantastic. This is one of my favorite Bond movies.
Wow.
I think the critics went nuts for this because this is like Bond, like he like gives up the gadgets at one point, right? And like the final battle takes place in like an old farmhouse with like Home Alone style rakes and lanterns and shit. Mm-hmm. This is a great movie. I went 90 and I could be low.
Oh my God. No. Well, I was right there simpatico with Jim. I said 67.
Skyfall certified fresh at 92.
God.
Wow.
Damn.
Yeah. I think, wow. Brian.
Adam, you would like this movie.
That I shall see it now. That sometimes, oftentimes, seeing the movie is not really much benefit. But
yeah.
When there's a series mm-hmm. of them and the one before it sucked, but this one kicked right. ass, then it is of benefit.
Yes.
So I think that may have benefited Brian. All right.
Everyone see Skyfall. It's really good.
All right. Here we go.
This next film's product placement is integral to the plot, as it's Will Smith's leather Converse that really give him the strength to stop the sentient robots from taking over the world in 2004's I, Robot.
Mm-hmm.
Cannot distinguish this from I Am Legend.
Oh, they're very different.
Although I never saw I, Robot.
Very different. I Am Legend, there's no one else. In this movie, there's billions of robots.
He has a dog at some point.
There's... Yeah, I'm Legend's good. There was a whole group of these kind of CGI before it really worked that well. And like these kinds of movies, I just feel there's tons and tons of these movies. And it's not a genre that ever strikes me as compelling. I did not see this. Brian?
I saw it.
Jim? Jim's working, so he doesn't see this.
No, I think, well, here's what I think, that like we live in a far more critical time. I mean, I'm even seeing this in the two previous guests, is that back in 2004, I think that there was a much more, you know, these critics weren't so harsh. You know, like I feel like critics are way more harsh, and there's like social kind of, if a movie has a social commentary. And again, we're talking about 2004, but if it has the social commentary today, the critics can get behind it. But back then, I think they were far more forgiving. I mean, I don't know about this movie. I didn't see it. But, you know, that being said, if it was like Transformers, they'd destroy it. But, like, I don't know.
Well,
I don't know. Was the movie garbage?
Jim, let me speak for you. What we're doing now, what Jim is alluding to, is in the past, they just watched a movie and go, thumbs up or thumbs down. Now it's like, was there a strong female in the lead role? Was there a person of color? And so they're factoring in many things that might not have to do with the plot or the movie. Just they're factoring in a bunch of different factors you don't really want them factoring in.
Right.
In 2004, was that the case?
This is sort of before that.
Yeah.
I didn't see it. No. I don't think critics loved it. I got to pick up some points. So I'm going to lock my score in. I'm in. Jim?
I'm in.
What's your score, Jim?
All right. Will Smith, people love Will Smith, and I think people underestimate how talented he is. I'm going to give it 61.
Okay.
I went low, intentionally low, to try to make up some points at 41.
Thinking about the wrong way, man. This is a perfectly fine movie. I like it probably more than most people. The voice of the main robot is recent guest Alan Tudyk, Sonny the Robot. He's like a robot that goes rogue, right? Accused of a crime, but robots can't commit crimes, so there's a whole thing. This is a perfectly fine movie. I may have gone a little high. I said 81.
Oh, wow. I didn't see it right in line with Adam. I said 42.
No.
iRobot is rotten.
What?
Yeah.
At 56%.
That is surprising.
Eat all of it, Brian.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, no. I like this movie. This is good.
People had it at 70. Rotten, you hear rotten, you go, oh, but it's only 4 points away from being fresh. So it wasn't that rotten, right? I needed it more in the 40s. But here we go into the championship rounds.
Another film directed by Michael Bay. Uh-oh. Features a dystopian future where clones are lied to and massive Xbox logos are displayed during fight scenes. In 2005's The Island.
What's that?
Ewan McGregor and Scarlett Johansson.
This was a big movie.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, it was like there were billboards all over town and stuff, but it just didn't
didn't take.
Probably had 4,000 screens. Like, it was a big release.
I do not remember this.
All right. They didn't like it. But how? But where was it? And I'm going to lock myself in. I'm so lazy. I'm not going to write another number. I just wrote 41.
I'm right with you. I said 44. I haven't actually seen this.
40, which I think I've done three times now.
Jim?
I'm going to say 25.
Oh,
wow.
Oh, that could be. That's smart.
I think the media goes after Michael Bay.
That's so smart. It's good. You could make up some points if it's very low.
All right.
Awesome.
The Island is Rotten at 40.
Oh, oh nice. Thank you.
Oh, wow.
Very much.
Did you just get 40?
I said 40, yeah.
Oh.
Brian, what'd you have?
44.
That's right. Okay.
Mm-mm, Gina.
I needed that.
Oh, by the way, what do you win?
absolutely nothing.
Mm. You win bragging rights.
Yeah.
That's right. Mm-hmm. All right. It's pretty close here. Brian had a nice lead, but he got thrown off with that
iRobot.
So and then Gina just got 5-point deduction. So here we go.
Our final film features buddies Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson alongside Elizabeth Hurley and an ACS favorite employed by a big brown parcel delivery service, Jenna Elfman, in 1999's Ed TV.
Oh, no. Is this Rob Reiner? Or no, Ron Howard. Ron Howard? Yeah.
Yeah.
Ed TV.
One of those generic 90s directors.
I think Ron Howard.
Did this come after the Jim Carrey version?
It was almost at the same time. Oh, no, Jim Carrey was 97. So this, or right? This would have been 2 years after.
All right. So this is one of those like sort of social commentary movies. And did we find out? Was it Rob Reiner or was it
Ron Howard?
It was Ron Howard.
And Truman Show came out a year before this.
A year before. All right. So it's kind of Truman Show-esque. Are they going to call them copycats?
Keep in mind, this predated reality TV.
That's what made it so groundbreaking.
I need to get this one dead nuts on. Ron Howard is very consistent. I like Ron Howard movies. I have no thought. I am locked in. Jim?
I've not seen this.
Yeah, I'm locked in.
What do you got?
I got 80.
I went 73.
I remember this not being very well received. I went 50.
Yeah, 57.
Ed TV is fresh.
Damn it.
At 64%.
Okay. Oh, okay.
I can live with that.
Just fresh.
Gina picked up seven points on me there.
Oh, boy. Well, Gina, what'd you have?
57.
And Jim 180.
Mm-hmm.
So I picked up some points there too. Jim, yeah, a little lower. All right, here we go.
As we tally up the scores, I just want to say my hat's off to all of you. Jim, you played great from outside the studio. There are only three places on the podium, though, so one of you will walk home a loser.
Well, Jim's already home.
Yeah, so.
I'm already a loser.
Jim Gaffigan coming in with a score of 79. Bald Brian, not a bad showing. 40 is your score.
Oh.
Nope, that says 48.
Oh, that's better.
On.
That's better.
Adam Carolla, you are the loser. Off the podium at 105.
Whoa!
Whoa!
Holy moly.
Was Gina Grant's 5-point deduction enough to take the win?
Brutal.
And the answer is a resounding no.
Come on.
53. Bald Brian takes the win with 48.
Wow. Oh,
an exhilarating game.
Back in the winner's circle.
It's the Rotten Tomatoes game.
And Jim, you don't have to walk home a loser. I have to walk home a loser.
You know what? We all win because we can all watch my new special on Amazon Prime.
Well said.
We're all winners.
Quality time. They're always good. They're always consistently funny. Jim is just He's a smith, a wordsmith. And also movie coming out in theater September 20th, American Dreamer, and we'll keep you posted on that, or you can look that up. And hit his website, jimgaffigan.com, because so he's out selling tour dates. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate
Great talking
it.
To you guys.
Take care. Nothing better than a regular guy.
I love him, as we all do. I love all his specials. And I think it was probably Dylan who wrote down, you know, they have five kids. And one of his jokes is having five kids is like drowning, and then someone hands you a baby. So great.
All right. Now, stamps.com. I run my own business. I've written a few books, and that means you got to go to the post office a time or two, but not for us. We do not do that. We have been doing business with stamps.com for 10 years. It's been a decade of stamps.com. Yeah, they're one of the first. And they do all the services the post office can do, and they do it from you just do it from your computer. Buy and print U.S. postage, any letter, any package. Do it from your house. Best part, 5 cents off every first-class stamp and 40% off, up to 40% off priority mail. 700,000 small businesses use stamps.com. They got a special offer. 4-week trial plus free postage and digital scale. No long-term commitment. Just go to stamps.com. Click the microphone, top of the homepage, type in Adam. That's stamps.com. Look, you do everything online. You're so many things that you don't go out and physically shop. You go to Amazon and you buy a table lamp or reading glasses. This is basically that for parcels and going to the post office. Stamps.com. Enter Adam. All right. Christy is out there. We've got commercial grade. I have stumbled on to just a few commercials recently in the, my good vibes department.
Mm-hmm. It's taken over.
It's taken over. And it's companies. We always knew the Subaru world.
Oh, yeah.
Mercedes has got loving themselves some puppies too. The guys, same guys who brought you Hitler's six-wheel motor car.
Now I want you to pet their dog.
Now they're into puppies.
They're
big time into puppies.
Hitler loved his dog too, man.
That's true.
Did we forget it was Lady or Lucky or
no.
Blondie.
Yes.
Blondie. That's what it is. All right, we got that.
Of course it was Blondie.
Jufro wouldn't have done.
No.
That dog wouldn't have lasted long.
All right. We have that. We have, I will tell you, I said to, I was proud when I looked the other day, and I looked at, where I was trying to figure out weird, I'm always obsessed with IMDb scores and how they work and how they score them and what their rhythm is and how
such range.
Every movie I've ever loved is a 7.2 and every movie I've hated is a 7.2. I can't figure it out.
Right.
And I thought, I did a stand-up special, and the Netflix fellas told me they watched 15 minutes of it, and it was a hard pass. They didn't go like, I'll give you $10. They were like, yeah, not interested. And so I said, I wonder how some of those other Netflix specials scored on IMDb. And I did the last, I said, Max Pata, why don't you just get me the last 25 Netflix stand-up specials that have come out and just get their IMDb score and tell me.
Okay.
I'll write it down what it was. Not Taco Bell material is at 8.1.
You crossed the 8 threshold. That's
incredible.
Crossed
the 8 threshold.
You and the Godfather, man.
Yeah.
And I don't have thousands of votes, but I have over 200, so it seems like enough. And and if people go, oh, those are your fans. Like, yeah, Whitney Cummings has fans. That's her fans.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how it works. And so does Joe Coy, and so does Mike Epps. And so
Aziz
Ansari. They just have a lot more.
But
they have their fans vote and my fans vote, or people who aren't fans vote.
One group dwarfs the other, but they still have fans.
Same theory.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I just said, give me the last 25. Whitney Cummings, 6.5. Aziz, 7.7. Katherine Ryan, 6.5. Mike Epps, 4.9. Adam Devine, 5.8.
4.9?
Wow.
I guess they didn't like it. Yeah. Adam Devine is 5.8. There's some haters in there, too. Joe Coy, we love, 7-3.
Okay.
Miranda Sings, 5-5. Wanda Sykes, 7-1. Anthony Jeselnik, 7.0. Kevin Hart, 6-4. Nate Bergazzi, funny comedian, by the way, 7-5. Amy Schumer, 5-4. Jimmy Carr, 7-3. Ken Jeong, 5-7. Ray Romano, 7-3. Gabriel Fluffy Iglesias, 7-2.
You should do this material next time you're on stage.
Sebastian Maniscalco, 7-1. Ellen DeGeneres, 6-5. Verdas, 7-0. Russell Brand, 6-5. Trevor Noah, 7-2. John Leguizamo, 7-3. Adam Sandler, 7.6. And Ron White, 6.5. Mm. So those are the last 25. None of them start with an 8. So I'm not saying I'm better than any of them, but I'm also saying I don't think it's really that much about the product per se. That's curious to you?
I mean, no, just meaning what? I don't know what do you mean by that.
It's not about the product. They all got picked up. They all got reviewed and picked up. None of them start with an 8. Mm. So I would say, well, this one's... If you were doing this with bagels, you wouldn't go, well... We don't like this guy's bagels.
Those are their fans. Those are your fans.
That's an everything
your bagels.
Bagel fan.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I think I don't know. I think being old and white and saying women weren't funny when I didn't
did
say
it hurt you.
I don't think it helps.
Do you regret saying that now?
You know,
do you regret
thing,
not ever having
the thing
said
I
that?
Like about the news, even back in the day, is. Adam Carolla never said women weren't funny. Adam Carolla was presented with a question. Who's funnier, men or women? And I said men. Because I felt compelled to answer the question. And if you answer the question, it's either got to be A, men,
right.
B, women are funnier, or C, it's a statistical deadlock.
Right.
Like we are tied. For every single funny man, there's a funny woman. I, in my experience, have encountered more funny men than women. I also went on to say that Sarah Silverman and Kathy Griffin would have been funnier than any guy in my high school, for sure. But that part sloughed off, and then it just turned into Adam said women weren't funny.
So let's correct the record and make the new headline, Misogynist Adam Carolla felt compelled to answer a question.
I'm weird. You ask me a question, I will give you an answer. I don't think
that's on you.
That is on me. So,
what's wrong with black people?
Anyway.
Are we going to take a break?
Oh, yeah. The show's only 90 minutes long. Christy Bishop, the world's greatest wife.
Indeed.
She loves baking. She puts up with Brian. She brings home a nut. She literally brings home the bacon and fries it up in the pan.
Yeah.
Puts it in brownies. Never, never lets you forget your man.
It's a one-stop shop.
Because she's a woman. Anjali. I think it was a perfume.
Oh.
There was a perfume. Oh, you guys
I just know Charlie.
You guys know Charlie. There was a perfume called like Anjali, I think.
Exotic.
And it was like, I can bring home the bacon, bum, 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 and fry it up in a pan. And never, never let you forget your...
Wow.
And then she's like spraying it. All it made me want to do is I'd see my mom flopped out on the floor and I'd go, ugh, yuck. I want to throw up into my hat.
Anjali.
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 All right.
Anjali, the 8-hour perfume for the 24-hour woman.
I can work till 5 o'clock, come home and read your tickety-tock.
Tonight I'm going to cook for the kids.
And if it's loving you one, I can kiss you and give you the shivering fit.
Anjali, the 8-hour perfume for your 24-hour woman.
Yeah.
I've never wanted anything more.
If they did a perfume after Chris Carolla, it'd be like, I can argue with the cashier at Lucky's about why I can't use food stamps to buy cat food. Ba-da-da-da. Go home and take a nap. Ba-da-da-da. Lock myself in a room and yell, freak out.
And never ever let you forget I didn't want kids.
Because I'm lazy. Anjali. Yeah. All right.
On the range of those types of songs, that wasn't bad. Chris.
Oh, that's finger popping music.
Yeah, look, they want to enjoy them. They hire a sitter. They want to enjoy themselves.
Make a night of it.
You want Anjali.
I think
this one's called Anjali. 2, 3.
there was a look, you could do Charlie, you could do Angelique. There was one to Tangerine, too, the classic jazz song Tangerine.
No. Mm-mm.
Do you know the song?
If I heard it, probably.
Oh, you'll know it.
Yes,
you'll know it in a second. When you find Tangerine, there was it was like for a dietetic pill or a diet chocolate bar
AIDS.
Or AIDS or a diet shake or something. There was a Tangerine song. Angelique was taking a former song and making their own Angelique song about it. That's why it's like kind of a
standard blues. Yeah.
There's a song. Yeah. Like, cause I'm a woman.
Oh, really?
I think there's a song, a jazz song. I can bring on the band.
Yeah, that's a real song.
Yeah. It's a
W-O-Women.
Yeah. I think reason it sounds good.
Oh, it's because it was an actual song.
Yeah, that's a real
right,
sense.
Right. But Chris, it's no reason for you not to bring any form of enjoyment to, you know, whoever shows up at you, whatever you're doing. Tangerine was what commercial? I'm all commercialed up because Chrissy's coming in.
I'm seeing that the pet milk company used the melody for a liquid diet product called Sago.
Okay.
Maybe that's it. Maybe I was thinking about...
You did say diet products.
I did say diet something. See if we can find that. And you can find the real jazz. It's almost like a jazz standard, like the Girl from Ipanema or something. Mm-hmm. It's like it's one of those songs. We'll see if we can find that. Christy Bishop's coming in. We're going to talk about
I'd
all
love for
this
her to rate it.
Stuff. Let's see. What was that? See if we can find that
also,
song.
Also, it became a jingle for Pillsbury's Figurines.
Figurines. That's what it is. A diet bar. Yeah.
Is this Tangerine? I don't know.
I don't know
picking
yet. We'll have to hear the. I don't know about this part.
It's a jazz song. Over 100 acts have covered it.
She dances by.
No?
Oh, I got to hear it. Listen.
Senorita stare.
Yeah.
And Caballero sigh.
Yeah, Tangerine. Yeah, this is a slower version.
Okay.
Yeah, this is what it is. Yeah, if you play the faster version, over 100 bands or whatever jazz groups have covered Tangerine. It was a big jazz song. It's kind of a Take Five-y like that. But do you have the Figurine song?
Yeah, we got
it. All right, here we go. Then we'll bring...
For every chocolate mousse I've missed, for every eclair I resist, Figurines are sweet revenge. For everything that I've passed by, banana splits or lemon pie, Figurines are sweet revenge.
Look at that jaw.
Now a dieter can have an occasional sweet. If the sweet is Figurines, the diet sweet, just 138 calories a bar. Figurines are sweet revenge.
It's still not the Tangerine version of it. But find me the jazz Tangerine version, not like the weird old-timey one, but find like a slightly more up-tempo one. God, how fucked up were we with diets?
Well, yeah, and sweet revenge. And a tight shot on her crazy eyes. That's creepy.
Yeah. Not internet's weird, right? It's a popular song. Not no Tangerine on the internet, Max Pata.
I think I found. I got to forward it to Kaylin.
Oh, okay.
So I can put it up.
I wonder. It was Figurines, but that was not the Figurines Tangerine one. They must have got sued, or they picked it up later, or something like that.
Oh. Yeah.
Probably need the...
Not a Sinatra version of it.
Sounds like the musical version of it. Yeah. Anyway. I don't know. See if Mel Torme ever covered Tangerine. Or here we go.
I got Sinatra doing it.
Oh.
And lips as bright as flame. When she
sound familiar?
By,
vaguely, my grandpa probably played at some point, but
Caballero sigh. And I've seen
I probably only know it from the Figurines commercial.
Yeah, right. We missed that. We
put that on your list of things to look for in a later life.
Yep.
Christy's coming in, and we'll knock down. We'll do commercial grade with her. She has thoughts, and we'll do that right after this.
Adam Carolla is Unprepared, August 17th, at the Golden State Theater in Monterey.
This is a fun one. Delusional.
Delusional. I do feel like that's something that's going around more and more these days. Maybe it started with pets. In the past, animals were pretty much either beasts of burden or we ate them. Either you got to pull my fat ass up this canyon side or I'm going to eat you. Or both. When you run out of gas dragging my fat ass up the side of this hill, then I'll eat you.
Adam Carolla is Unprepared. In Monterey, August 17th, Golden State Theater. Adam Carolla and Adam Ray. Get your tickets now at adamcarolla.com.
Figurines do a lady proud. They're the diet lunch that you can crunch out loud. Figurines, crunch, 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 crunch. They're the most unquiet kind of diet lunch.
Figurines brand diet meals from Pillsbury. When everyone is munching, you can crunch alone.
My shape belongs to figurines.
Yeah, Dawson was telling me he takes one whole pineapple and two cases of figurines, puts them in a blender. Then he takes a sprig of parsley and throws that in on top.
It's healthy. It's a
whole drink
meal.
That for breakfast. Eat a couple of prefab burritos, and he's on his way.
Yeah, he's good till dinner.
How crazy was our society and diet, chocolates, and
I missed
singing.
Out.
Yeah, so gross.
What, 30 years ago?
Oh,
worked
God.
In advertising during that era? Oh, boy.
Come along.
You
way.
Say 30 years ago, that was getting on to 45. I mean, that's early 70s, mid-early 70s material there.
We're old.
We are, because it is, because when you go 30 years ago, and they go, you mean 1990?
Yeah.
You go,
yeah.
No, that was not Spuds McKenzie.
Oh, God.
That was something
we are
else.
Old now. We're 40 plus.
The good news is the moms, there's a totally different version of what a mom or what a wife would be back then. It was insane. And to compare and contrast to my mom was insane to me.
And so much of the meshing was you had to keep up. Remember the Folgers, all the stuff?
Like, yeah.
You had to maintain the standard.
Oh, I mean, the
social pressure was on.
You literally had to keep up the maxi pad commercials. I need roller skates to keep up with you. It's like, woman, young attorney. Do you remember that one?
No,
I don't.
Oh, sorry. Now Maxipada. I need roller skates to keep up with you. It was a tampons commercial. Christy is here. Commercial Grade is the name of her podcast. It's available on Apple Podcasts and, of course, the Twitter. At Pardon My Crumbs. I love the fact that you're baking. What you been?
We sure do.
What you been doing lately?
Talk about the Bedino and the mozza dinner.
Oh, we have now we're competitive daycare parents, mm-hmm. So we have a rotating barbecue. And when it was our turn, our friend like sous vide a bunch of crap, and he was being all fancy. And Brian, we're like, okay, it's time for me to jump back in the pool. I haven't cooked, I haven't baked in a while. But we had Osteria Mozza. It's a kind of a fancy. Fufu restaurant over on like Melrose, they have a butterscotch Bedino. It's basically pudding. It's like butterscotch pudding.
Ooh,
but
I
made it from scratch and had like vanilla whipped cream on top of it and like crunchy little amaretto cookies and like layer of like smoky caramel on top.
Oh.
From scratch. You guys, I'm back.
I broke keto and had two.
Oh, so you good. Gotta have
they
two.
They were huge.
They were so good.
All right. So we got Taco Bell.
Yes, the Bell Hotel.
The takeover.
Mm-hmm, happening as we speak right now.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, today.
Where
well,
at?
I guess when this airs, it won't.
Where are they
right
at?
Later.
Where they
the,
move?
It's the V Hotel in Palm Springs.
Oh.
So Garagos property.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so was that the same one or the first one?
It's
or?
The same one. So it's going for 4 days.
So they did it. They stopped for a little while and then they came back?
No, it's just the one pop-up.
They announced it, but they were being cagey about where it was.
Yeah, so it was the teaser campaign. So it was like, it's going to happen.
That's what taking reservations is probably you're thinking of.
Yeah.
Oh, but
remember they sold out in like 2 hours?
Weren't we
two
seeing
minutes,
a lot of
two
pictures
minutes,
of the
you.
Rooms and the floats? And
yeah, promo that, pictures. Promo pictures.
Oh!
Yes.
Oh, I'm taking crazy pills. So this has never happened. It hasn't happened
hasn't
yet.
It hasn't happened. It just makes you feel like it's going to happen. It was trying to build all the momentum and the teasing.
You guys did a fantastic job.
Imagine the fire festival, but it happened.
Well, I was seeing pictures of the rooms and the floats and the people and everything. So I thought we did it already.
Those big people had a great time.
Oh.
No, so right now it's happening.
Wow.
Yesterday was the press day. Today's the real day for the rest of the weekend. It's sold out in 2 minutes. People are flying in from 21 states. Why? Unbelievable.
It's so crazy.
It's the, I mean, I saw a guy on Twitter last night saying they delivered me a crunch wrap in my hand in the hot tub. And I was like, I don't know.
That's why.
Gets better than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a guy who posted a video. They have every single thing you have in a hotel room. They have taken it out, whether it's like the mug, it's the amenities, like the toiletries. Yeah.
The key is a hot sauce packet.
Diablo hot sauce packet. Literally the bedding. They did the walls.
So you've got Taco Bell hot sauce on the walls.
You have your hot sauce pillow. You have a little amenities bag. You've got all of the fire sauces and the chips, the menu. So you have 24/7 Taco Bell room service. Mm. Yeah, there's the mugs. If you'd like to take home a piece of the bell, yeah, sure, buy it. Yeah, right. Every single piece of this is getting stolen. Let's be very clear about
So is this going to... Now, obviously, this is the beginning of what will be the new normal, right? Like, there's just, we're going to find different brands and different pop-ups and takeovers.
We just did a story about, and I wondered if you knew about it, renting the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile as an Airbnb. So I think people are following suit.
Oh, my God, really? Yeah. No, that's brilliant, though. Not a lot of room, and maybe it smells.
Yeah, so, one or two.
Chrissy, here's a question for you for your advertising mind.
Yes.
If you're Del Taco,
and you're
like... I want to. Now, we need to counter-strike, and we need to take over a Holiday Inn. Are people going to go, speaking of hot sauce, weak sauce, sloppy second sauce, like, you don't want to get caught, invent your own thing?
Yeah, create your own thing.
Do another takeover. It just seems like you got this idea, and now you're doing it.
Unless they do their own crazy Del Taco version that's, like, really unique and true to their own brand, like chili cheese fries.
You
got to
go the other direction. Like you said, do a Holiday Inn, or do some sort of Motel 6, and do,
RV
like, RV park. Yeah. Something like one room.
Yeah.
But I mean, Taco Bell is such a cult brand. It's just, it's crazy how rabid the fans are. So, I mean, but all ages, all
do
types.
Do you see, I don't know, Lexus doing this or other brands, so Lexus, Coors Light?
Lexus partners with hotels, like as the official cars of different hotels. So it's the high-end experience.
You worked for Lexus for many years.
Yeah, I worked with Lexus for several years. Yeah, so they partner with specific hotels as like the, if you want to go to a restaurant, like the Lexus will take you. Coors Light, I have no idea. I don't think so.
Well, I got a hell of a Coors Light commercial coming for you.
We do.
Why don't you, let's give the Taco Bell takeover grade.
A++++. That's her company.
We definitely do business with the seller again.
That's
eBay.
Right. What, no matter if I'm with the company or not, this happened before I joined. It's the coolest thing of all time. Like, I went to Taco Bell for the first time in a drive-thru in 20 years last week.
And it was awesome.
She was like, welcome to Taco Bell. Can I take your order? I was like, I'm going to need a few minutes because it's been a while.
You scan this menu.
She's literally like, it's the same as it was 20 years ago. And then I thought of Adam and, you know, seven ingredients makes 25 million different things. I was like, yeah, still the same.
Yeah, well,
still delicious.
I've always, it's always funny about, like, I used to have a joke about Mexican food, but it's like, hey, for breakfast, it's tortillas and beans and rice and beef and eggs. And then what's for lunch? Like, well, that's beef and then rice and then beans and then tortillas. And then what's for dinner? Let me guess. Cheese,
it's
beans,
and rice.
And
well, it's rice and beans.
Don't forget the guacamole.
Yeah, it's just say you really, the breakfast adds eggs and dinner adds guacamole usually, but that's about it. It's really five ingredients that just get turned into an infinite number of things.
But
right.
Can I just say, for the Taco Bell Hotel, the coolest thing about it is that they've like made it kind of highbrow a bit. So you have champagne where they're literally putting in strawberry sangria Baja Blast popsicles in the champagne. They have popcorn at the pool that's Dustwood Verde seasoning.
Oh my God.
And they have a whole restaurant. See, there you go. There's a video of one of them. They have performances at the pool. And then this is the coolest thing. They have a salon where you can get cinnamon twist braids in your hair, Baja manis, and fire fades. Literally, like, you get the Taco Bell logo or tacos shaved
in
the back of your head.
How many of the people getting Baja manis? Mayonnaise are going to be dudes.
I don't know, but I want one right now. I'm going later on today to my place, and I'm getting this. Look at this.
That's amazing.
It's amazing.
What's up with the kitchen? How are they getting this Taco Bell product to all these people?
Unclear on the logistics. I would imagine they've got some trucks there. I don't know. Or are they just really going after the local Taco Bell?
I used to say this all the time. I haven't said it in a while. This is why the terrorists hate us.
Yeah.
They see this. And they go, Jesus Christ, when are you guys ever going to stop? Would take your foot off the hedonistic accelerator for just a second and coast. Could you please?
I'll get you a t-shirt.
Please. I was going to wear my Taco Bell t-shirt today. I should have, because I was given a Taco Bell t-shirt by Taco Bell.
You were going to wear it, but it was clean?
Yes. All right. So A++. Yes. And then we go into the Mercedes-Benz because I noticed, of course, Subaru, very puppy-centric, but yeah. I noticed Mercedes-Benz is getting in the puppy business as well.
Getting in the puppy game, yeah.
Hey, MaxPat, I see Coors Light, and I see the word shower and bra, but the commercial I just saw was Coors Light bra.
Chrissy has a shower commercial.
There's three of them. It's part of the new campaign.
Oh, find the bra commercial. So we have two.
Okay, sorry. Go ahead. Mercedes, we'll take a look at that spot. A couple is going to adopt a puppy. This is a Mercedes SUV.
It's called Rescue.
Rescue. Looking.
Yeah, they're
the
in the shelter.
Licking. Aww, there's the one
dog
pouting.
And then
the
how
corner
about this one? I know. They're taking the long way home.
Oh,
he loves ice cream.
And he likes
freedom, you guys.
Freedom.
Wind in his face.
Mm. He's curious at a horse.
This dog won the lottery, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you crying?
No, you're crying.
Today for exceptional offers. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing.
Ow. When he did the little head cock.
Gina's
oh
actually
God
like tearing up. This end scene, Subaru.
Experiencing her menses.
She's going through menopause, you guys. Give her a
how dare all
hot
of
flashes.
You. Jesus.
He did the little head move.
She's a new mom, and here we go. Cries at everything.
Right. Oh, Lord.
But, yeah, so they made Hitler's car, but now they're making this commercial.
Yes.
But, again, in a world where we're much more interested in vibes and feelings than fuel economy mm-hmm or torque
right
or warranties.
At all.
Every commercial I used to see growing up with a car would go warranty. It's got a $100,000 100,000-mile rust-proof warranty. The right drivetrain.
No one
is
cares
like,
about that anymore.
Nobody wants to be hit with any of that. It's just about vibes.
Let me hit you with a challenging point here. A wise man named Adam Carolla once said on this show, more than once, every car today is good, except for maybe mm-hmm the smart car. Mm-hmm. Every car today works. Every car is good. Yeah. Every car has a good warranty. Every car is safe. Every car is just a little bit different. Maybe one car gets 10% more torque or 10% more gas mileage or whatever. In that world, if you're a car manufacturer and your world is every car is good, we can't differentiate ourselves by saying, hey, guys, we're a Mercedes.
Yeah.
And everyone else is like, fuck, I'm going to go look at Lexus and BMW. Well, they're all just as good. Why not take the angle of, all right, we're going to go totally outside the box and start appealing to your emotions because every car is good. We can't convince you that we're 10% better than the other car.
Can I just give you the actual marketing answer to that? Like the real one?
I want the actual
answer.
That's
a long question. I'll give you a quick answer. So there's a thing called the sales funnel on the very top of it. It's an upside down pyramid. And if you're looking at like awareness-based messaging, which is very much emotion-based, mm-hmm, so this type of ad is called emotional brand resonance. You want someone to feel it, to your point. Once they start looking for a car and it's called the consideration set, like, it's really weird. Research says people consider an average of 3.5 car brands. Where's the 0.5?
Yeah.
Okay, it's like it's a smart car. It's a tiny, it's a Fiat. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tiny Fiat. That's when you want to hear all the warranty, product stuff, you know, the torque, miles per gallon, all of that.
But what gets
you there? There's a time and a place.
Yeah.
The emotion gets you there so you can be hit with the rational message.
Wow.
Smart answer. Mm-hmm. All right. What do we give it?
I'm glad that
it worked on
to do
Gina.
That.
Gina became a heap.
I'd just give it a B.
Gina,
it's
don't even see the movie Brian song.
I can't.
You'll
I can't.
Literally be that's a sob. You'll be on the ground in a fetal position and a puddle of tears.
They so take the sad dog.
I'll give it a B minus. I give it a B because there's a dog. It's sweet, but it looks like a ripoff of Subaru. They don't have an offer, which is interesting. It's a summer event, so like it's like, come on in and buy
oh
it. So they have the three cars and like the pack shot at the very end, but there's no number. Because there's three cars, you can't say starting from because it's not indicative of one specific vehicle.
So it's not even like they're trying to offer you a deal. It's just, this is our new campaign.
It's a whole new campaign, but it's meant to get you in to buy it. They're basically trying to sell cars during the summer.
Yeah.
They're called the summer event.
Mm.
Yeah, I give it a B minus.
I miss the old days when Mercedes would just pull Santa on the sled. And they had a whole group of Mercedes pulling Santa.
And he was just a humble melon farmer.
Blue-eyed man. Heavy set. Probably Trump supporter.
Oh, jeez.
All right. So then we get into Coors.
Yes.
Now, I found the one Coors commercial where it's like the official brew of ladies who are popping their bra. That's the one I saw. The sort of independent, attractive, but not over the top. I guess kind of single working professional ladies coming back to their apartment after day mm-hmm of work and just watch this commercial. I was a little surprised by it, not offended, but I was like, "Whoa, boy, we've come a long way from like your Spuds McKenzie's or chicks playing volleyball on the beach."
Yes.
Here we go.
It's called Made to Chill.
She opens her stylish apartment, modest but stylish. Kicks her
Band-Aids
on the back of the feet.
Feeds her fish. She's tired.
opens the fridge.
Pulls out a Corolla.
The Rockies are blue.
She ignored the white wine, went straight to the course.
Cracks
yeah,
it,
girl. Okay.
Taking the bra off.
Yes.
And then pulls it out of her.
That's how it's done.
Pulls
where,
it out of her sleeve.
The clasp?
Now she's going to sit down.
Mm-mm. The official beer of being done wearing a bra.
Oh, my
Mountain
God.
Cold refreshment.
Girls all drink right. beer. Girls buy beer, too.
Doing it for themselves.
So can I read you what Adweek said about this?
This yeah. is beer from Smoking the Bandit, everybody.
I would love to hear Gina's perspective. No offense to the men in the room. But, okay, from Adweek. Many women can relate to the feeling of relief that comes with taking off your bra at the end of a long day. It's a small but significant act that marks a shift from day to night. A subtle nod to the fact that an evening of Netflix, and maybe a few glasses of wine lie
wine?
ahead.
Yeah, how about Coors?
Coors wants to be the alcoholic beverage of choice for moments like these. I mean, let's try hard
stretch.
Coors Light, but woo!
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's super specific. It's like, if you're a guy, you don't even know. Don't worry about it. This is such a specific woman thing that everyone can resonate with and identify with.
I feel like I did that in college.
Yeah.
I haven't done that in 20 years.
But don't you like, does
the
it
bra
almost,
out the
yeah,
sleeve?
Yeah, my clasp is in the back.
Oh,
how the hell
too.
Am I meant to
well,
do
I
that?
Was.
Do those cute little
prove it.
Clasps.
Yeah, no.
But don't you love it?
Take it off.
Don't you love that sort of inside joke element of
for
that?
For sure, yes.
I think that's really funny.
The insight.
It is an insight. It's fine. But the campaign, so you found this one. I found the other one that's shower beer. It's about a disclaimer. I was like, I don't get mad about disclaimers. You do. But I was like, what is this disclaimer? This is crazy. But it's part of a new campaign called Made to Chill. It's the first effort from their new agency called Leo Burnett, which is out of Chicago. There's a third one, which is multicultural. It's Spanish speaking, where two guys wake up in the morning and watch soccer and like make breakfast sandwiches. And they grab a Coors Light because like you watch soccer early.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So it's part of a full campaign.
But this one.
This one is a gal or...
This is a dude.
A dude.
It's shower beer.
Shower beer.
Yeah.
Goes, he's taking a shower. He's enjoying a shower. He's
There's like,
dialing it in.
It's to the Gypsy Kings, the music.
Wait.
Reaches for a beer.
Yeah, reaches for a beer. But do you notice the... Yep. Did I already say it?
Yeah, I said it.
Like,
do not
what?
Attempt.
I...
do not attempt this thing that we're trying to corner the market on?
This song is I Did It My Way.
The official beer of drinking in the shower.
Uh-huh.
Look,
no.
Maybe this is Dr. Drew talking because I've been sitting next to him too long. But drinking in the shower would be like a mark for alcoholism. Like,
oh,
I drink plenty and I don't drink in the
I
shower.
I was not going that way. Dawson, no. Please jump onto my back here. Ladies, that is an insight, dudes.
100%.
Drinking in the shower is fantastic.
You taught me about
that. I had a beer in
that.
The shower less than a month ago.
Yeah. What?
I'm not saying it's not great.
Not awesome.
I'm saying... When Dr. Drew hears about someone who had like two DUIs, he goes, oh, he's an alcoholic. Right. And you go, well, he was coming from a Christmas party. He'll go, that's an alcoholic.
Okay. Yeah, that's
he's having occasional whatever.
If I can be specific.
I feel like drinking in the shower would be one of
you
those.
You can't wait for
so
a minute.
It seemed to me like it was a rite of passage
I was gonna say,
in college.
Dawson,
like, you live alone thing. And you're like, oh, shit, I can drink in the shower.
This is the situation.
Oh,
like,
and it's a college
cool
thing.
You spent the first half of the day, a couple hours on the beach. You've been drinking. You want to keep the party going, but you got to shower up for going out for dinner. Shower goes into the beer goes into the shower.
Shower beer.
Wow. Shower beer.
Easy. I've had shower champagne.
Never. Can't say that I haven't heard of it.
That's what that little
I can't
little
say
ceramic.
I don't approve. I just never had never done it. Although
you know,
I never take showers.
Yeah,
how would you know?
Ceramic things. You that's for your
beer poo
that's
or
for your beer.
Oh, for beer.
Yeah.
Oh.
Beer poo. Little ceramic shelf.
Cuz I've been to the tile store a few times. And I think they call those shampoo something, but you're saying beer.
Beer holders.
I did not know that.
It's science.
Now
Dawson, you have 100% put beer in your hair. In the shower.
It can't be good for you.
I 100% have poured a beer on my head in the shower, yes.
But a cold beer, not a warm beer.
It was a cold beer.
Yeah, of course. Right.
Yeah, you
refreshing.
Took two in
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Less than
decadent, you guys.
How long is that shower? What, take two. How
no,
long?
I mean,
less than a month ago. What
yeah.
were you drinking in there?
Coors Light, C-.
Yeah.
It is the
what?
Official beer of
Jesus Christ
of showering.
There you go.
It worked.
You should be suing for copyright infringement. Like, hey, man, you ripped my idea. That's me, dude.
I'm new to the 3 years.
This is my life story, Broseph.
At the very least, cast me.
God damn.
Well, he's too old. They're targeting millennials and Gen Z.
Oh,
so
brother.
I know. Let's be very specific.
It's good to know this works.
I feel like there was a whole campaign, I think, in the 90s, probably. It was Coke for breakfast. You remember that campaign?
No, I don't remember that.
Oh,
your
boy.
Dad would.
Poor
yeah.
Max,
superstar of this.
Poor Max Zapata is going to have to now dig for this. But there was a thing where it's like, hey, man, have a Coke for breakfast.
Wow. Like, that seems like a horrible idea.
Well, what Coke wants to sell Coca-Cola, right. And they're saying, hey, it's got a lot of caffeine in it.
Yeah,
you put sugar in your coffee, why don't you have a Coke for breakfast? And I used to watch that go, really? I kind of feel that way about let's drink in the shower. Yeah. You know, like you're sending a message of morning drinking. If I had a wish for my son.
Oh, boy.
And somebody said.
If I had the blood wish.
Somebody said works out in the a.m. versus drinks in the a.m. I probably would say works out.
Yeah.
If I had a wish.
But you're uptight.
It doesn't mean he could then go off to a very, you know, could be the head of a law firm.
Right.
I don't know.
Give him a break. He'll be fine. He'll be fine.
Listen, you're talking to a guy who likes to drink. It's just I do it outside the shower.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Coke.
It's Diet Coke as a morning pick-me-up.
Pouring it into a coffee mug.
No, a teacup. It's like a teacup. Yeah. Oh my God.
With a cornflake.
In the pink robe.
What year was Coke in the morning?
This ad was from 87.
87, yeah. Wow. They made a push.
Wow.
Like, they did, I think it kind of was like new Coke. I think they kind of went, hey, we're going to do this thing. We're going to hit it hard. Oof. And they hit it, and everyone went, we don't like that idea.
It worked on one man, Mike Bishop.
To this day.
Diet Coke in the morning?
And a Hershey's bar. All day. Hershey's bar and a Diet Coke for
and
breakfast.
A Hershey's bar.
He's a champion.
He's not a health nut.
No. Not so much.
For breakfast?
Yeah.
Wow.
I got some 5 in the morning.
Yeah.
I gotta say, I make a little room for the folks that get up before the sun comes up. Mm. Also, I do believe that when you have to get up at unnatural hours, you must dangle some carrot. Ironically, not a carrot.
Carrot's good for you. Made out of chocolate.
But you need something.
Yes.
You need, when that alarm goes off at 5 a.m., your first thought is, oh shit.
Yeah.
And your second thought is, ooh, Snickers bar.
Yes.
And you need that.
Yep.
You do.
Okay.
I'm with you.
Although he's the only adult male who does that.
Kept Jesus that company Christ. Alive.
A lot of Diet Coke.
So what do we give? Well, what do we give the bra commercial? Because the other one was just for the disclaimer, which is also
But it's
insane.
Part of the same
but
campaign.
But I like the insight.
I'm saying.
It's all about taking, I actually do think the insight's funny. It showcases various scenarios in which people put their phones down to just enjoy everyday life. And mm-hmm. Coors Light should be part of that. The insights are strong. Like, they're human insights. They're kind of fun. They got us talking for 10 minutes. So I'd give it a B+.
Yeah.
B plus.
Yeah, okay. I'd give it a solid B plus. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
It's
a little
campaign.
Higher than the Mercedes spot.
I mean,
The puppy B minus
for Mercedes,
though.
Would you ever remember that that's a Mercedes?
I would have absolutely no idea it was a car commercial.
Right. So we're lucky we're not giving it a C.
I watched it, and I'd been drinking, not in the shower, but when I was done, I'm like, I gotta buy me one of them pounds.
I gotta get over to Best Friends LA.
I think this maybe there's I could buy a part of a ownership in a pound.
Fractional ownership.
What's a warranty?
Like a private jet.
I had no idea it was for a vehicle.
No.
You found a jingle for Diet a song for Diet Coke in the morning?
Sweet.
Yeah, this is an old 80s radio jingle.
Coke in the morning.
It's a pretty good jingle.
This must have been when Heart was on top of the
world. Yeah.
Yeah.
I vaguely remember this jingle.
It's long.
You remember this?
Is this Scandal?
Goodbye to you.
You totally know this, Brian.
I remember the last part of this.
Yeah.
Man.
Sounds vaguely familiar.
It's actually good.
Please tell me it was all Diet Coke, because I just remembered as Coke in the morning. I didn't seem to hit the diet part of it. The commercial was the page, the print we saw was a Diet Coke.
Well, Adam, they want to be healthy.
At least you didn't say Pepsi.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't know, because it says that they took note of a Jolt Cola success, who Jolt Cola started.
All the sugar, twice the caffeine.
That's right. So I don't know if they did the whole diet thing with it. Jolt.
All right. Let me hit Castrol Edge, speaking of good products. Strong under pressure. Engines lose up to 10% of performance due to friction. Castrol Edge with fluid titanium transforms under pressure. Keep the metal parts from rubbing and robbing power.
Three times, fool.
Three times stronger than leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. It is the best. It is Castrol Edge. Christy, I'm going to give you some plugs here, then we're going to move on with the news. Commercial Grades, the podcast, available on Apple Podcasts as well. And check out Pardon My Crumbs on Instagram and Twitter as well, because Christy's knocking it out of the ballpark. We will let... ChristyBishop.com is where you can go as well. Take a quick break. We'll come back, do the news after this.